you should never be buying a deal assuming that the cap rate's going to compress. That's definitely not something you want to do. And something we do is also have a sensitivity chart, and we'll look at the sensitivity for interest rate. So we'll put in about like kind of like the base where it is right now.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What is going on, everyone? You know the drill. Every Monday, we're coming at you with all things multifamily real estate investing. And today, the topic I want to talk about is rent growth. This has driven the multifamily market for the past 2 years. Rent growth has been off the charts. Some markets seeing mid-20s to even low 30% year-over-year rent growth, which is somewhat insane and unprecedented for it to grow so quickly. And it's made a lot of deals, great deals that maybe shouldn't have been, right? And it's covered up a lot of and experience a lot of maybe mistakes. And I still see people underwriting with crazy assumptions. And I saw this article that came out, a new report tracks rent growth momentum, and it shows that the momentum has slowed so material that among the largest 150 US metros, more than half, so 81, now report year over year new lease rent growth below the most recent CPI reading of 8.2%. And so I just want to highlight a few of these markets across the country. There's actually one that's negative, and that's Honolulu. So if you invest there, they're seeing negative 1.9% year-over-year rent. Everyone loves Phoenix, and Phoenix is and can be a great market, but it also tends to be a classic boom and bust. We saw this leading up to 08 and then obviously in and after 08. And rents did skyrocket earlier, probably like a year ago, and rents were up 27 year-over-year. As recently as January, but as of October, year-over-year rent growth is down to 2.3%. And I wouldn't be surprised if it kept cooling from there. And that's kind of just indicative of where we're at in the market right now, right? It's just been running so hot, and there's just a limit to what people can pay. Similar story in Vegas, where new lease rent growth cooled from 25% in January to 2.6% as of October. Boise, which was another hot market, was above 20%, now at 3.6%. But should cool further. Month over month, rents in Boise have fallen in 6 of the last 13 months. Now, if we look at San Francisco, rents dropped to 0.9% in October, and year over year now at 5.7%, and should cool further as well. Austin, which has been a gold rush state over the past couple of years, has peaked at 25% year over year back in February, now at 5.9%, over month cuts of 0.9% in September and 1.4% in October. So this is just to get on here and just let everyone know where the state of the market is and how you should be underwriting. I don't think you should be underwriting really any rent growth, maybe 1 to 2%, but then that should be also put up against with increasing your expenses, maybe having some concessions / delinquencies in there, but you shouldn't be running high rent growth, right? Now, loss to lease, that's a different story, right? Because there might still be some demand to fill new leases with market rent, right? Like you're not increasing year over year market rent, but you're getting up to market rent. So there still could be movement there depending on the market and for sure, right? But actual organic growth, growing average market rent, that's not something you want to be underwriting right now. That's something you want to be very careful on, get yourself into a lot of trouble if the deal solely works because of that. And I also want to touch on some things you should be doing to stress test, right? So what should you be doing to stress test your deals? And obviously the first thing is don't be underwriting with a lot of rent growth. Just don't do it. Yeah, you might not, at this point in the market, you might not win some deals, right? Who cares? The person that's going to win that deal, you don't want to be them. They're going to get into trouble. So what you want to do to stress test is you want to play with the occupancy. And when I say occupancy, I mean both physical and economic. And for those that aren't familiar with the term economic vacancy, it's essentially, yeah, you might have 100% occupancy physical, the people that are actually in the building, every unit is filled, but how many are actually paying, right? So if you only had 75% paying, so that means you only have, or you have 25% people not paying. You might be full, but your economic occupancy is only 75%, right? Because 25% are not paying. And so you want to find where that break even point is. So you want to stress test it to see, okay, I can still, this thing can still operate if only 70% of the people are paying. Now, if it's, this thing can only operate if 85, 90% of the people are paying, I don't think that's the deal you want to get into. Definitely not, especially in this market where there's just so much stress in the market. Interest rates are rising. Inflation is still pretty rampant. Everyone's living expenses are going through the roof. Energy is about to go through the roof. Are people really going to be able to afford? And if you run into issues where people are not paying, you don't want to lose this property, right? So stress test that economic occupancy. And then rent too, you want to stress the rent growth. Like even loss to lease, play with, what if you don't capture that full loss to lease? So even though you might buy a property where markets are below, well, what if we get into a situation where people just aren't moving? There's not enough demand to fill units at that current market rent. What if we actually see some negative rent growth, like I mentioned in Honolulu, that could happen in more markets? So you want to stress test that as well. What if you don't actually capture the full loss to lease? You know, you want to stress that. And then obviously interest rates, especially if you're floating, which I hope you're not buying anything floating, should be all fixed. But maybe you buy something fixed and there's, it's a 5-year, 7-year, 10-year arm, and then you got to refinance into something else, right? You should be stress testing it. Well, what if rates do not come back down? What if they're the same or even higher? And you want to stress test, obviously, the exit cap, that's a huge one, right? What if your exit cap increases 100 basis points, 200 basis points, even 300 basis points by the time you sell in 5 to 7 years? Does the deal still work? Or is the deal dependent on this cap rate staying the same or even compressing? I hope that's not the reason, because you should never be buying a deal assuming that the cap rate's going to compress. That's definitely not something you want to do. And something we do is also have a sensitivity chart, and we'll look at the sensitivity for interest rate. So we'll put in about like kind of like the base where it is right now. And then what if it goes to an increment? So we're going up in this deal I'm looking at on my screen, we're going up 20 basis points per scenario. And so what if it maxes out? What does that IRR look like based on the assumptions, the inputs you already have in your deal? We'll look at year 5 exit cap. We increase it about 120 points as well, basis points, excuse me. And you want to see, actually 220 basis points. You want to see where that IRR goes to. And then we look at rent growth too. We're looking at negative, we're looking at a positive. And we just have the sensitivity chart that just shows us all these different scenarios. And these are kind of the things you really want to stress test, and also expenses. You really want to stress test it by increasing expenses. What we normally do is year 1, we increase it like 10 to 15%, and then 2 to 3% for remaining years. So we feel like that first 10 to 15% bump really will capture where we see inflation at. But you can also stress test by just doing 5% per year and see what that looks like. You could even do more, 8% for the next 2 years, and then maybe another 5 and taper down to 2 and see what that looks like, right? So in this type of market, you just really want to stress things and find that break-even point, right? You want to create that worst-case scenario. Like, it's your best educated guess, right, of worst-case scenario. Now, you also want to think, what's the probability of this happening? If it does happen, can I still keep the deal, or am I going to lose the deal? And if you're going to lose the deal, then that's something you want to pursue. But the days of underwriting these big rent growths, not in this market. And you should not be doing that. It should be flat, bare minimum. All right, everybody, this was a short one. I've seen a lot of people. I've seen recent underwriting from people. I've seen people talk about this online. And I just want to get on here and share that this is the time to be very prudent and really stick to your criteria, your underwriting criteria, and just really be smart. Don't act on emotion. Just really act on fundamentals. If it works, it works. And if it doesn't, on to the next. And that's what it is. All right, everybody. As you know, the fee, if you found value from the show, please share it with someone you know. That's how we grow the show. And also, if you haven't left a rating or review, please do so. But as always, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So get out there and work hard for your money, and also have your money work hard for you, so we can all create the lives of our dreams. We can all make this world a better place. All right, everybody. Catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.